Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in to episode 2. McLean and Gramlich here. We're talking ACC sports. I am Kelly Gramlich. We have a lot to get to today. Eric McLean, what is up?
Come on, episode 2. If you're not ready, you better get ready, everybody, because we've got a lot of fun stuff. Quarterbacks, fun teams, surprise teams, and then we've got a really fun segment at the end, Kelly.
Can't wait. This is our middle of the week episode, so it's a little, which is going to be fun because it's a little less structured, a little more, we're just going to go wherever the show takes us.
Can go crazy, so. Right off the rails really quick.
Who knows? Who knows where we end up? But let's start with surprise teams in the ACC. We are 4 games in for some teams, 3 games in for most. Some have only played 2. So it just kind of depends on your luck with COVID and everything else. Who is the team, Mac, that has surprised you the most in the ACC so far this season?
So I took a negative connotation on this, which may be surprising in itself. But I'm going with Duke, and it's a bad surprise. Duke 0-4. The turnovers have been unbelievable. They lead the country, 15 turnovers. A ton of them are interceptions. They also lead the country in sacks given up with 17. Two things that you don't want to be anywhere near the top of the list on, right? And they're number one in America, in the world. They lead the country in the world in turnovers, all while only throwing 3 touchdowns. 0 of those touchdowns have been to wide receivers, which is remarkable to me. You've got to get those guys involved. You can only go so far when you're throwing to your targets, being tight ends, running backs, getting into the end zone. So a positive thing, though, they showed real promise in the second half against Virginia Tech. The offense really began to find its rhythm, find its groove, and that was running the ball and throwing it when you needed to. So another guy that stepped up was number 24, Jarrett Garner. I really expect him just to be more involved in the passing game. He's kind of proved himself. He made really crazy catches that last game. So maybe that's a turning point. They just didn't have quite enough to beat Virginia Tech. But, yeah, my surprise team, and it's a bad surprise right now, and it's Duke.
They have been a surprise. I thought they would be better, especially with Cutcliffe and his reputation there. Mac, what are your thoughts on Chase Brice? Because – we've seen some of the heroic moments he had, of course, the Syracuse game at Clemson that will never be forgotten by Clemson fans or Syracuse fans. But, you know, you go from throwing to T. Higgins, Justin Ross, Amari Rogers, to throwing to non-5 stars.
No, we don't know. Duke. It's okay to say that.
Throwing to non-5 stars. Yet. So what is that adjustment like? And obviously it's been a little bit of a tough transition for Chase Brice.
And Kelly, that has been my biggest point right now is T. Higgins, Justin Ross, DeAndre Overton, Amari Rogers didn't come to Duke with him. So he's not used to not throwing to these superstars. He didn't have a full spring because of COVID. He didn't have a full summer because of COVID to get on the same page with these guys. And I think that's why we're seeing a little bit of this struggle. You know, arm talent, being smart quarterback-wise, can run the ball. He's got all of that. And he's got the quarterback whisper to fine-tune that thing. But right now, we are literally seeing them go through growing pains as a result of not being on the field and not having that time together. So it's something that if I'm a Duke fan, I'm not freaking out. I'm not saying, you know, who is this guy? He's awful, because he's absolutely not. He's going to be really good for your team. It's just going to take some time. And unfortunately, that time is going to be right now during this season where he's learning, growing, getting familiar with his guys.
Yeah, for sure. My surprise team in the ACC, and this is more, it's a good surprise, all right? They're 2-1, but I'm just shocked by the transformation, and it's been a good transformation, but they just look so different. And for me, it's Boston College.
Come on.
With how much their offense has changed in the new regime. The BC, we've known forever, really the last 10 years or so, run first, AJ Dillon, big backs. They just want to pound you into oblivion. They've got a good defense. They've got great tight ends, great O-line, right, Mac? And so absolutely, that's what we've known BC as. But Jeff Hafley, he comes in against Duke, 300 passing yards, 84 rushing yards as a team, all right? Win. against Texas State, 210 passing yards, 87 rushing yards. Against North Carolina, a close game. I thought BC gave North Carolina all they could handle. So BC, this is a good surprise. It's just different. 313 passing yards, 40 rushing yards, 56 passing attempts against North Carolina. On the season, your Boston College Eagles, a team known for back in the day having a bunch of dudes, right? 274 passing yards per game, and they're only averaging 70 yards on the ground per game. That is just, I figured that Halfley would come in and change some things, but it's just kind of crazy how different Boston College looks.
And in a very short amount of time, I just mentioned all those factors with Duke and Chase Bryce not having COVID. They had the exact same thing. So, I mean, you're talking about making this crazy transformation in a summer camp, I mean, in a month. And so it's absolutely mind-blowing is the word I like to use there, just to see what they are doing, how they have transformed. But here's the thing, Kelly, if they're going to continue to be successful and really win some more games in this season, the defense that they're facing, they cannot continue to be so one-dimensional. It's going to hurt you at some given time, and maybe it already has with this one loss. But if all you have to rely on is throwing the ball, when you face a great passing defense and they shut that down, you have nothing else to rely upon. So the offensive line, especially this coming week against Pitt, by the way, who has Werewolves led the country in sacks a week
ago.
I'm not
Pitt
sure if they're still up there.
To NC State. They stopped the run.
Exactly.
They stacked the box and they said, Devin Leary beat us, and he did.
And you lose. Or with NC State, you win. So that's the different thing that I'm looking forward to see from them. Hunter Long, you mentioned tight ends. He's elite. He's a guy that can go and do anything in the route tree, and it's been really fun to watch. But you're absolutely right, Kelly. They cannot be one-dimensional and expect to be in the upper echelon. If you want to be, you know, average and right in the middle of the pack, you know, keep doing what you're doing, but you're going to have to make those improvements in the run game, you know, to be that upper echelon ACC team.
It's almost like they said, we're going to go modern. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to spread it out. But they went a little too far. And we'll see if they bring it back to a little more of a median in the middle of the run-pass balance later on in the season. But some of the best teams in the country, you look at Clemson and what they generally do, they have a great balance between how many passing yards they average per game, how many rushing yards they average per game. It's generally a pretty good balance there. So I think that's a key.
Absolutely. And again, I think you're absolutely right. We're going to see that. And really the biggest surprise for me for that team is just been their growth on defense and how they've changed. I mean, they were like 125th in total defense when it was all said and done a year ago. Right now they're at 25. And so that half effect, as a lot of the Boston College fans and people inside the program like to call it, is real. And just the determination, the swag that I'm seeing from that defense, it's something that we haven't seen in quite some time. So, you know, great job what they're doing so far, and just excited to see them continue to grow and move forward as the season goes on.
All right, Mac, it's time for the position that we all love to talk about. It's time for the reason why people come to games and watch the offensive line. I'm just kidding, Mac.
It's not exactly. I love
it's
that.
Not the, I hate to break it to you. It's not the offensive line. Quarterbacks.
Nobody cares about the offensive line. Nobody cares.
We care, Mac. We care. Sometimes, if they're protecting a great quarterback.
That's right. As long as they're doing their job very well. But let's talk QBs. Come on, Kelly.
Yeah, let's talk QBs. And, you know, it's all about the quarterback. One reason why I think the ACC is having a great year so far, Mac, is because the quarterback play is good. You've got some elite guys. Of course, Trevor Lawrence is up there at the top, most likely number one overall pick. But you also have some other guys in there that are playing really, really good football. So top five quarterbacks in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Let's start at the top, Mac. I think
number
you're going to shock me.
I'm going to shock the world with this one. Here we go. Trevor Lawrence.
I just fell out
big
of my
shocker,
chair.
Right? I mean, what he's been able to do in his career, what he's doing right now. And another thing, Kelly, is this list, this top five that we're about to give you, this is how they are playing right now.
Yes.
In the 3 to 4, sometimes 2 games that they have played, this is where they rank in the ACC if the season ended right now. And right now it's Trevor Lawrence is number one, clear cut. He's thrown 7 touchdowns. His completion percentage is above 70%. 0 picks. A year ago, everybody was saying, what's wrong with this guy? What is he doing? Right now, he's just answering that bell. Looks like he's on a completely another level, a different planet. He has such control over the offense. It's really been inspiring to see. So I have Trevor Lawrence as the clear cut number one.
Thank you for clarifying that, by the way. Yes, through just in 2020, what we've seen so far, that's how we're looking at this with our QBs. Number one for me is Trevor Lawrence. And Mac, what I find so incredible about Trevor Lawrence is he spends this whole offseason, again, like you said, no spring or very little spring, which is a big factor. He spends this whole offseason in quarantine or social distancing or whatever. So he's really off the grid, and he takes that time to improve his game. This is a guy we saw, you know, national shows, all these people talking about, oh, Trevor's number one pick. It's almost sealed. Justin Fields was in that conversation, but right, it was pretty much sealed. And the fact that he went out there and got better, how often do you see that? I think it speaks to his character. I think it speaks to his competitiveness, not just with others, maybe Fields or Trey Lance or whatever, but with himself. He truly wants to be the best version of himself. And I think the difference that I've seen so far is the taking care of the football aspect. Not just no picks, not putting really any balls in jeopardy, besides maybe that one throw against the Citadel that we talked about on our previous podcast.
Which was a touchdown.
Which was a touchdown, exactly. Right. He's making such good decisions. And that was the knock last year, was sometimes he would try to force things, or he would try to make a throw that he thinks he can make because he's Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
But it just
and maybe
doesn't
a little
work.
Bit too much trust in his receivers too,
yes,
right? Like just throwing
yes
it up to those guys. So I'm right there with you. And Kelly, I think the most impressive thing to me has really actually been off the field, and to see how he has not only become the face of college football, because I think he might even have been that last year. He's now the voice, and whatever he says, the injustices that he's standing up for, the platforms that he and his brothers really across college football, not just on his team, not just in his conference, across college football have come together and you know, form these different things, has been truly remarkable to see. If that didn't solidify him as the first round pick, nothing will. So I think he's well on his way to that measure. But it's been great to see his growth, like you said, a guy who was already so good has now take two or three steps farther. It's crazy.
Thank you for bringing that up, Mac, the off the field stuff, because I think one of the best things you can do as an athlete, and I know you and I both experienced this. I mean, if you're just listening to us and don't know what we look like, we'll be frank, we are both white people living in this world. And so, you know, when you have teammates that are black or whatever, just any sort of minority, anything like that, you're able to better understand their experience because you're living with them every day and you're walking through life with them. And that's why this is just a quick little sidebar, but I am such a proponent of team sports and how they help build up young people and expose them to all different types of people. And so you can get along with everyone. And that's just something I've always taken from my experience as a student athlete. And I'm sure you would say the same, Mac.
Yeah, 100%. Sports can do what nothing else in the world can do. It can unify people from all walks of life for a common goal and a common purpose. And that's either celebrating a team victory, that's trying to get a team victory. It's truly remarkable what the world of sports can do for our society. And that's what we've seen in these last couple of months. And you know, for Trevor to be really one of the guys at the focal point, it's been really cool to see.
All right, Max. So we both have Trevor Lawrence as the number one quarterback in the ACC and in the land. Let's get to the rest of our top five list. Give me your number two and your number three quarterback in the league.
So I'm excited to keep going through this list, because I think by the time we get to number five, some people are going to be scratching their heads. But again,
this is just in 2020.
Year, what has happened so far? So number two, I've got Derek King, and I really don't think there's a question mark that he is number two. I mean, what he's been able to do, his comfortability in this offense from week to week. I mean, he is just getting better, better, and better. Again, a guy who's close to 70% completion rating has yet to throw away the ball. He's playing so well. He's using his feet to not only gain positive yards, but to escape and to really extend plays and then hit a big home run downfield. So I've been very impressed with what we've seen from him. And so I have him at number two right now. Number three for me might be a little bit of a shocker. I have Kenny Pickett, the guy who leads the conference in yards. Again, he's doing it at a very high rate, 60%+, only two interceptions, and those weren't – it wasn't like they were bad passes. So I really have liked what I've seen from Kenny Pickett. My biggest challenge for him this year was the yards are great, but let's get the ball in the end zone, and that's exactly what he's been able to do so far for his team.
That is a little bit of a surprise. I don't think many people would have had Pickett at number three, but I completely understand where you're coming from. And I think I have him a little higher than some might assume. But he, well, I'll get to that. All right. Number two for me, Derek King, just like you said, Mac. He has the second best quarterback rating in the league behind Trevor Lawrence. No interceptions. He's taking care of the ball. I think that's huge. Let me ask you a quick question about Derek King, because I would say the lazy comparison is a Lamar Jackson. I don't see that. Lamar Jackson is a once in a generation kind of guy. Derek King hasn't run the ball that much yet. I think he has about 25 rushing attempts, so it's not like they're using him that much. Right. Do you expect them to run King a little more with design QB runs and things like that, not just scrambling, when they play Clemson? And we'll get into more of this in our preview episode coming out later in the week, but do you expect to see a little more King running the ball against Clemson?
Short answer, just because I want everybody coming back Friday.
Yes.
Yes, I do. Based on what you saw on film, I think that answer is yes.
Excellent. Perfect tease, Mac. Number three, number three for me is Sam Howell. I left Sam Howell at three, and here's my main reason. Here's my main reason. Because of the explosive plays and because he is second in the league only to Trevor in yards per attempt. And to me, that is one of the most important stats for a quarterback. Now, he has great wide receivers, Deami Brown. He's got Daz Newsome, some guys that can go make plays. The turnovers have been the issue. And kind of like with Trevor last year, I think it's correctable. It's not great. You don't want to see it early with three interceptions, but his yards per attempt are excellent. He still has a really good completion percentage, and they're still undefeated. And I think he's settling into what we talked about last podcast. It's a whole different world for him now with expectation and pressure. So I'm going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and put him three.
So I didn't give him any benefit of the doubt. And I left him
off
the list. He's not on the list. When you look at what he's doing right now, he's not on the list.
He
has yet to complete a ball through the air 20-plus yards. That's something that UNC thrived on a year ago. They were third in the country with around 34-plus completions of 20 more yards in the air. He's yet to complete. He's 0 for 6. And so I think that he's just not quite himself. I don't know if
it's fair. Yards per attempt, though, Mac. Good completion percentage.
Yeah, and I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's fair to say sophomore slump yet, but that's kind of where it's trending for me. Okay. Again, the expectations are piling on, different things like that. So I think he's going to be fine. But right now, left him off the list.
I like it, Mac. Hey, Mac has high expectations.
I do.
Who's at four and five for you?
So four and five for me. Four is your boy, your Boston College team. You love them. They're your biggest surprise. I'm going with Phil Jurkovec. And again, what he's been able to do through the air, completion percentage, again, close to 70, only has two picks. He's looked very impressive. And really from a guy where we kind of had expectations, but we didn't know. I mean, we didn't really see it in action. He's a big prospect. He's got a cannon of an arm, and those things are starting to come to fruition. So kind of a Big Ben-ish type player, in my opinion, with just how hard he is to bring down, his control of the offense. And again, similar to Chase Bryce, he didn't have a full spring. He didn't have a full summer to go through with his guys, and seems to be on a much higher level and just more comfortability there and trust from his coaching staff, where he says, hey, we're going to throw this ball a ton. And he's been very good. So I have him at four, and then Malik Cunningham I have at number five. He's co-leader in the ACC with touchdowns with seven. I cannot leave him off this list. His completion percentage is a little bit concerning, just because he was such an efficient passer from a year ago. And maybe, you know, people get tape on you, they get film on you to go with five interceptions. The most you add up everybody else on the list, it still doesn't equal his interception rating here, but that 8.3 yards per completion, he's a spectacular player. He's going to figure it out.
Interesting. Very interesting, Mac. I like where you're coming from here. So number four for me is Kenny Pickett, who I've been so impressed with. This guy, I know tough as nails is an overused expression, but that's actually what he is. That is actually what he is. Some 100%. Of those hits he took against NC State just pops right back up, keeps going. 280 passing yards per game, only two behind Trevor. I tweeted that out earlier today. Can you guys guess who's second behind Trevor in passing yards per game? I think like two people got it. No one else was guessing it.
And it was funny. I saw that tweet and I was like, it's my boy, Kenny Pickett. That's why he's three on my list. And it was funny just to see everybody. Nobody knew. I mean, nobody has that expectation, but that's what he's doing.
his receivers are stepping up as well this year for him. So I have Pickett at 4. And then at 5, I'm pretty surprised, Mac, because neither of us have Ian Book on this list. I have Phil Jurkovec from Boston
College.
Notre Dame
fans, please don't leave. Come back.
Keep listening. Now, to be fair, we haven't seen much of Ian Book, right? He played South Florida. He played Duke. He only played 2 games. But he's thrown 1 touchdown in 2 games. Only 62% completion. He also has a pick. When you look at Jurkovec, like you said, Mac, 5 touchdowns. He's completing nearly 70% of his passes. And I appreciate how well he's performed when BC is leaning on him so much. He has been basically their whole offense so far.
Yeah, 100%. And again, just to touch on Book there.
Yeah, you know, let's touch
similar
on
to Duke. I mean, he's got to get his wide receivers involved. Mm-hmm. He only, you know, when you look at his top 7 receivers, 5 of them are tight ends and running backs. I mean, that's only going to get you so far when you're playing these elite teams. I mean, you have to get more guys involved on the outside if you're Ian Book. But he's done what he needs to. He's done what he's had to do to win the game, and that's be a game manager, get great, you know, pickups with his feet, you know, make big-time throws when they count. They necessarily haven't been touchdowns, but, you know, he's making the plays, and he is a fantastic quarterback. I have no doubt by season's end, he'll probably be top 3, top 4. But right now, that was the specification, Kelly. Right now, he's not on the list.
And it just shows how deep this league is with quarterbacks. Ian Book just threw right now, and again, he hasn't had many opportunities, but he's not on our list. A guy like Malik Cunningham wasn't on mine. Sam Howell wasn't on yours.
Which is crazy to think about, right?
Oh, UNC fans, I want y'all to come at Mac.
But hey, look, I've been keeping UNC number 2 in all my power rankings.
Yes, you have.
UNC,
that's true.
I love you guys, but your quarterback's got to pick it up.
He does, and he has to deal with that expectation. It's something that we've seen so many quarterbacks have to deal with and just kind of get used to when you've got film on you and all these different types of things. All right, Mac, it's time for a segment that I think our listeners are going to love. Yes, drum roll, if you heard Mac's drum roll there. It's time for our ACC segment. Now, you might say, ACC, duh, that's what you guys are talking about. No, here it is, okay, because I love acronyms. The A stands for athlete. Mac and I are each going to give our athlete of the week. And we might do this a little closer to the beginning of the week in later podcasts. But for now, athlete of the week. So last week, the coach of the week, which coach were you most impressed with? And then the craziness of the week. And I went with a stat here. You can do crazy stat. You could do whatever. So that one's just kind of open-ended. So Mac, why don't you kick us off? Who's your A? Who's your athlete of the week?
So my athlete of the week, this is probably the easiest week that it'll be to decide this, was Virginia Tech running back Khalil Herbert. I mean, he just went absolutely nuts this week.
Bonkers.
200-plus rushing yards, averaged 10-plus yards a rush, 357 all-purpose yards, 3 touchdowns, and the most important stat, a dub. And so was just very important or very impressed with what he was doing. Every time he rushed the ball, he looked electric. He was very patient. He allowed his holes to be opened up by his, offensive line there. So there's no doubt about it that he had an exceptional week and really 2 weeks in a row where we're talking about this guy as a special running back.
He was my athlete of the week as well. This will probably be the only one we agree on. But this guy, you can't ignore what he did. Absolutely unbelievable. Carried Virginia Tech on his back and kind of with the Jurkovec conversation too, with how much Virginia Tech is relying on him, with how much they're asking him to do, he's stepping up to the plate. He comes from Kansas. I know that guy is so hungry for wins. It's not even funny.
Right.
All he wants to do is win. And watching him this weekend versus North Carolina with some possible weather, again, we'll get into that on Friday, but I feel like he's going to be relied upon a lot. But for last week, athlete of the week, Khalil Herbert, no doubt. On to the C, Mac, the coach of the week. I'm intrigued to see where you go with this one.
So I went with the Wolfpack. I went with Dave Doran. Just hearing him after that win, you know, getting his first road ranked win since 2017, and just the passion that he had, the love for his guys. You know, he said, nobody knows what we're dealing with. You know, they might be getting hit by COVID a little bit harder, or, you know, just facing different things as a team adversity wise. And, you know, for that all to just be released in that victory and to feel really good about where your team is and really to surprise a ton of people. He had to be my coach of the week. It was so great to see that. And, you know, anytime that, especially a tough-nosed, a hard-nosed coach, you know, gets emotional and just gets, you know, that love pours out. He was my guy. It was easy to see and just happy, you know, for the Wolfpack right now.
I'm glad you said Doran, Mac, because I have seen that you've taken a little hate on the Twitter webs because you still had NC State a little low in your ACC accounting. So look, Mac loves the pack.
We've been over this. He loves the pack.
My coach of the week, this is a little off the beaten path, but I've been so impressed with Bronco Mendenhall.
Come on.
And he's my coach of the week because just 9 months ago, his team lost to Clemson 62-17. Just 9 months ago.
And it was bad. Like, it wasn't, questionable. It was bad.
And he arguably had a better team 9 months ago with Bryce Perkins, Joe Reed, Hassis Dubois, these guys that were really good at the skill positions. So he comes into Death Valley in a situation where they're a 28.5-point underdog, and he keeps that game close. I was really impressed by Virginia, just the belief he had in those guys where they didn't play scared. You mentioned that, Mac. They didn't play scared. And they had 25 first downs on Clemson, the fifth most first downs that any team has had on Clemson since 2016. That is a coaching job from Bronco Mendenhall to take a team that got boat raced by this team 9 months ago, and now they're competitive. I think they can build on that. It's weird to pick a coach in a loss, but I'm a big fan of Bronco.
Yeah, and again, you never want to have those moral victories, but if there is one, that's it. I mean, seeing how they compete, they weren't afraid, had a very aggressive game plan offensively and defensively. I think there is a ton to build on for them as a team and us, you know, as analysts and college football fans to see. They have a making of a really good team. It looks like they're going to be able to do a ton of the same stuff they did a year ago with maybe better guys at the time. I think these guys can really grow and develop into absolute ballers, but it's looking like it's going to be more of the same for Virginia, where they're keep building and getting better. So I like the pick. I think that's a solid pick, but why don't you go first with the crazy? Tell me what was the craziest thing since you have a fun little stat.
This was a crazy stat. And it actually has to do with the guy that we've already mentioned, Khalil Herbert, who is becoming the star of this podcast, Mac. The number is 12.44. That is Herbert's yards per carry average right now through two games.
Freak show.
That's insane. Okay.
Let me tell you,
311 yards on 25 attempts.
Right. It has a lot to do with scheme and blocking, but it also has a lot to do with him being a dog and just playing out of his mind.
And he's only getting the ball 12 and a half times per game, which again, you want to have some balance there, but his yards per carry is virtually the same as his attempts per game. When does that happen? So that's my crazy stat of the week.
That's wild. I love that. And that's a fun one. And it just shows you how good these athletes really are. And especially in the ACC this year, my craziness was the Andrew Booth interception. I mean, the best pick I've ever seen in my life. And I know I'm not that old, but it was truly remarkable to go up over a 6'7" wide receiver, reach back like 2'3", because that's his number, not 1'3", and make it a fantastic catch. I mean, it was beautiful. The coolest part about it, Kelly, was the fact that he said, you know, I've struggled with confidence. I've struggled with, you know, being that five-star guy coming out of high school. So for him to make that type of play, and it was impactful. It wasn't, you know, trash time. This was a very turn of events type play where he, you know, kind of got all the momentum back to Clemson. I mean, that's great for him. So I hope that he can build on that. You know, you love to see these young people just have the greatest success. And you know, again, mental health, confidence in yourself, it's a real thing when you're out on your own in college doing it by yourself. And so that's great to hear from him. And man, that was a crazy pick.
Insane pick. Just one of the most athletic and incredible plays. Great box out, by the way. I'm going to give him some props for that box out basketball land. But Mac, you just got real there for a second, and I really appreciate it because it can be tough, especially last year, Booth coming in, five-star guy. He has somewhat of a rough year, and no one is immune from a confidence hit Yep. You know, like that. And I know, Mac, you can kind of experience that too, where you came in as a tight end, you had to reassess your goals, and then you had to move to offensive line, and then you became all ACC. So it can take time. I remember struggling mentally for sure as a shooter freshman year, where you just haven't developed that mental right. toughness, and the confidence isn't there. So I appreciate that Andrew Booth got real with us.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's hard, especially, you know, as a man and doing that, to be vulnerable in front yeah. of people. So it was really cool that he did that. It was great to see. And again, you just hope his confidence can continue to build on making such a great play.
All right. That's our show. Episode 2 in the books. Make sure you guys rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. McLean and Gramlich, we are so excited that you're listening, and we can't wait to have you back for episode 3.
No doubt about it. Until next time, we'll see y'all.